You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 10th, 2021, as you heard on the network news a moment ago, Wednesday, the president is actually inviting Republicans to take part in discussions about his infrastructure package, as they still want to call it. That's not really what it is. They have titled it the American Jobs Plan, which makes it sound really good, right? But it's not about infrastructure. It's about every piece of pork and everything the leftists can jam into it. Well, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said, we're willing to help him and the Democrats with an infrastructure bill, but not this $2.3 trillion plan that they have offered under the title of the American Jobs Plan that also allocates money for long-term care for the elderly, disabled, and every kind of thing you could think of that they want to put in there. He said, if you put the limit to just true infrastructure, roads, bridges, transit systems, maybe the internet, he said, we could do that. $800 billion, that's still a lot, but he said, that we would support. We could work with you there, but otherwise, you pull this bait and switch, we're out of here. We'll wait and see what happens Wednesday. Colonial Pipeline is insisting that it's going to be able to quickly get everything back in operation after a hacking operation. The Colonial Pipeline has a 5,500-mile system that delivers fuel from the refineries of the Gulf Coast to the Northeast Coast. 45% of the fuel going into the Northeast Coast goes through this pipeline. 45%. So when the company got hacked the other day and everything got shut down, well, you know there's going to be a jump in prices. That was going to happen anyway. But now they're estimating you're going to see gas prices by the end of the week go up at least 6 cents, probably more, maybe 7, maybe 9, maybe 10. Oh, speaking about hacking, we are told, at least according to the justice minister in Belgium, Chinese spies are able to get sensitive information about airports throughout Europe. Their source, Alibaba. Alibaba, that has operated, of course, as an e-commerce giant out of China, insists that when it does deals with various governments, that they are allowed to have access to all their data. And the Flemish politician says they might be infecting and cyber attacking all of our airports. What do you think could be the next move? Well, the latest report is that more than a third of U.S. adults are fully vaccinated against coronavirus. Are you among that number? Well, the 7-day average for new infections substantially down from the wintertime peaks. And Dr. Anthony Fauci now coming forward and saying, I think we can be less restrictive about the mask. It's a start. Governor Gavin Newsom, of course, facing a recall in California. But he's also got many candidates lining up against him. One of them, Bruce Jenner. Oh, correction, I have to correct myself. That's not Bruce Jenner anymore. It's Caitlyn Jenner. Transgender woman now, running as a California gubernatorial candidate as a Republican, conservative. Now, that's a twist for Republicans, isn't it? But he is already acknowledging all for amnesty for everyone. Wants legal immigration, but amnesty for all. You know, we have in New York City a Memorial Day parade. It's being denied this year round for fear of COVID. That's at least the story they're being given by Bill de Blasio and the city. the same group that gave permission for a BLM march, the same group that gave a permit for an LGBTQ march, for a marijuana march, now says it's too dangerous to go out and march and support our vets on Memorial Day. Hey, Andrew in Chicago has had too much time on his hands. He sent me a story today about a Japanese company working on a container-like bag for live fish so you can take your pet fish for a walk. There's a bag for that. There is a bag for that. They're still working on it. I'm going to take my pet snails. Yeah, I have some. I can go 5 minutes and cover what they would take 6 months to get to. You think it'll work?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Democrats are destroying this nation. We've watched the greatest expansion of government and this socialist liberal agenda. We watched them destroy our borders where hundreds of thousands are coming across, not being tested for COVID. We're catching people on the terrorist watch list. You've got the destruction of our energy. You've got the largest missed jobs report in more than two decades.
That's pretty damning evidence, isn't it? And those are the words of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, that Democrats are destroying our nation. Now, not all Democrats want to go down this road. They know, they see the dangers, the pitfalls, but they're being swept along at this time. They try to put their foot down or try to speak out against it. They have to worry. They could be canceled. The woke culture will come after them and their families and their jobs. But McCarthy has nailed it. And most of us know it. I think we see it all the time. We see how this nation is changing. I'm going to go through several other pieces that we've discussed previously, but then there are constantly developments going on. Let's just deal with where he said there that the largest missed jobs report. Let me explain that in detail. We got into it last week. Keep in mind that the unemployment rate is up to 6.1%. 6.1%. Do you know where we were before COVID came to our shores and all the restrictions were put in place and folks were told to shelter in place at home and businesses were closed down or restricted so severely they could not operate, even still for many? We were about 3% unemployment, 3%. So it's doubled. At 6.1% under the Trump administration, before COVID hit our shores, we were doing much better. You look at the peak of 2020, April 2020, it was about 15% unemployment. So what happened in this missed jobs report, economists had been surveyed, and they expected the unemployment to fall to 5.8% and add something like 978,000 jobs for the last report. Well, it didn't do that. It did not reach anywhere near that. There were no 978,000 jobs. There were only 266,000 jobs added in April. Well, Biden had been killing jobs left and right since the day he got in, by executive order signing off, canceling the XL pipeline, 1,700-mile pipeline. First day in office, he did that. That was going to employ something like 11,000 Americans. And the ripple effect is unbelievable. I told you the other day, a company in Pennsylvania had a plan for a $1.5 billion project they were going to do and build and employ hundreds, thousands more in that area, and not just for direct construction, but operation and, of course, all the other services that come with it, canceled. Now, they know if they're going to do it, they need to do it now because the cost of everything is going to go up since gas prices will go up, price of lumber is way up. Somebody sent me a picture the other day, and they had a handful in the picture, a handful of toothpicks, and said, I'm willing to sell these, but don't try to lowball me because I know the value of these. Yeah, they're just toothpicks, but you get enough of them, you can come up with a plank of lumber and then another plank and another plank, maybe have enough to build a house. Well, I said, I've got some acorns in my pocket. You want to buy them? It's a long-range plan, but I'll sell them. This is where we are right now. We're having to figure out, we keep hearing that we will provide you a job, a J-O-B, equal to what you're doing now, and it will be better because your J-O-B, working in the fossil fuel industry, was going to be obsolete. And now with this hacking of the Colonial Pipeline the other day, those in the blue states, the Northeast in particular, that rely 45% of their fuel and oil and gas through that pipeline from refineries in the South, you think they're suddenly going to say, that's not such a good idea. And I still have yet to hear any liberal explain to me, because they don't really know, how are you going to run all your electric cars if you don't have a way to recharge it? How do they think it's recharged now? Electricity. Well, where do you think that comes from? Oh, it could come from turbines at some point. It could come from hydroelectric plants along the rivers at some point. But that's not the reality of today, and it's not going to be for a long time. As I've told you, when Biden tells these pipe workers, don't worry, your job is obsolete, will become obsolete, but we have a better job for you. Some of those pipeline workers getting north of $30 an hour, $35 an hour, had they given them any job like that at this point? No, hell no, they haven't. They will be lucky if their great, great grandchildren get a chance to get a job at that rate, and then it won't amount to anything. And the other things the Dems are doing trying to destroy our nation. I mentioned in news and commentary how New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is not going to allow military vets to march on Staten Island Memorial Day. They're worried that it might be bad. It might spread COVID. If they really want to stop COVID, coronavirus, the China flu, stop everybody coming across our border illegally. But they're not doing that. That's not politically good for them. So a lot of the vets are obviously incensed. And in particular, when they see they're following the same rules they always have, and while they're being denied, the mayor and the city did not stop a St. Patrick's Day parade in March. Bill de Blasio participated. They did not stop numerous Black Lives Matter protests, numerous. They had a cannabis rally and parade May 1st. They didn't stop that one. But for memorials for our troops that lost their lives paid a price and recognizing that sacrifice? Nah, that's too dangerous. Everyone participating in that Memorial Day parade that was a vet faced a lot more dangers than someone passing COVID to them. And at the same time, you got a president right now that issued a proclamation for Police Week. I want to share with you, again, this is more examples of how they're trying to destroy the values of this country. May the 15th, 5 days from now, that is Peace Officers Memorial Day. So President Biden, of course, wants to make sure everybody knows that he's supporting law and order when he's not. Issued a statement from the White House, "We have gratitude for the selfless public servants who wear the badge." But then the statement in the process also added, "This year we also recognize in many of our communities, especially black and brown communities, there's a deep sense of distrust towards law enforcement." That's a yin-yang approach, is it not? Yeah, and I specifically said yin-yang because once again, to my Asian friends and listeners, you got left out. They aren't concerned about any distrust or where you stand with reference to law enforcement. If you're black or brown, they are. And believe me, they're more concerned about brown now because pretty soon that could be a majority in this country. They want those votes. And then they look for everything else they can do to crack down. And one of the other things, of course, would be freedom of speech, our First Amendment right. There's a May 5th complaint that's been sent to the FCC by the Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office, which is headed by Marilyn Mosby. She filed a federal complaint with the FCC against a local news station for, quote, listen to this, please listen, blatantly slanted, dishonest, misleading, racist, extremely dangerous coverage, and a move many believe, so forth and so on, she says, is threatening her. In fact, saying that this is all an effort to make her look bad because they're reporting the facts of the investigation into her. And then adding, of course, that all of this from her communications director, this disconcerting, dangerous pattern beginning with a slanted, rigged, misleading, inflammatory headline followed by conspiracy theory from guest commentaries of disgruntled ex-employees or political opponents all create false stories, and they are worried that the coverage from that TV station, if it's not curtailed and ceased, somebody's going to get hurt. Mosby? that's who they're afraid is going to get hurt. But they're basically putting a veiled threat to the FCC. You need to shut down this news operation and their stories. We just saw what happened with Facebook last week after it permanently banned the President of the United States, claiming and blaming him for any insurrection, as they want to call it, on Capitol Hill January 6th. I point out again, it was not an insurrection. They didn't go in there to overthrow the government. They went in there to make noise, and yes, they should not have done it in the fashion they did. It was wrong. They get no measure of acceptance from me. It was wrong. And on top, some who got inside then started stealing stuff and vandalizing. They were wrong. But because they went in yelling and shouting, the votes are rigged, don't do it, don't take those votes, that was considered, quote, insurrection. I'm going to remind you in the next segment of something Hillary Clinton said recently, and also Carol Braun in Georgia, who ran for governor, did not win, and she's still making excuses as to why she didn't. So here we have the state attorney's office at Baltimore City asking the FCC to put a gag rule on a TV news operation because they don't like the coverage. This kind of stuff is not just happening in our democracy. Other countries around the world that are trying to be and hold up as Democrat examples, Democrat operations, I should say, they're under fire. The British government took a report. Its anti-terrorism program got a report that a Christian chaplain at a college was delivering a sermon that told pupils it's acceptable to question and disagree with the far-left LGBT ideology being taught at the school. That's all he said. You have a right to disagree and question it. And for that, a complaint went immediately to the British government anti-terrorism force saying he's trying to provoke terrorist activities. It's not just the U.S. But we need to hold the line here, not only for us, but for democracy around the world. And the lies that they claim are told by the right are told repeatedly by the left. Perfect example, a perfect example coming up when we continue. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I acknowledge that former Secretary of State Brian Kemp will be certified as the victor in the 2018 gubernatorial election. But to watch an elected official who claims to represent the people in this state baldly pin his hopes for election on the suppression of the people's democratic right to vote has been truly appalling.
Truly appalling. Those are the words of Stacey Abrams when she acknowledged that she was not going to be elected governor of Georgia. And, of course, she had claimed then and does still that the reason she did not get elected is because the election was stolen from her. Now, see, if Trump and Trump supporters still insist that I don't think that election was right that we had, whether or not there were enough votes to swing the election, just the very fact that you question was it fully legitimate, and I personally say no, but do I know it was enough to take the election away from him? I cannot say for fact yes to that, but I will always question that election, the way it was handled, and the fights and the battles that are still going on in different areas, but more importantly, what are we going to do going forward? That's why Georgia, of course, came up with new election laws, which immediately those on the left, like Stacey Abrams, leading a fight saying you're trying to disenfranchise and keep black votes from being counted. No, we're trying to protect black votes. In fact, they gave them more days to vote. They said we will send out absentee ballots again, but we just want to verify an ID that you are who you are if we're sending it to your address. They'd already had voter ID and voting in Georgia. That wasn't the issue. And the rules in place now in Georgia are better for protecting integrity and more open laws than you find in the state of Delaware. Why do I mention Delaware? Well, that's President Biden's home state. And they are better than what you find in New York State and other states. But Stacey Abrams still claiming that she should have won, but she got cheated. Now, she did an interview over the weekend with CBS about this battle over losing the election based on her complaint that the candidate she ran against, Kemp, was cheating. The Brennan Center for Justice, during the time that Kemp was Secretary of State, he apparently purged 1.5 million voters, from the election rolls, saying they're not eligible. So now that's the background. Here goes a question from CBS and Stacey Abrams' response.
According to the Brennan Center for Justice, Kemp, during his time as Secretary of State, purged 1.5 million voters from election rolls. Kemp says he was eliminating ineligible voters to protect the integrity of the election. Abrams claims by doing that, Kemp stole the election.
You know that some people say, then what is the difference between Stacey Abrams not conceding an election in 2018 and President Trump not conceding the election 2 years later?
Words matter. What I have fought for, what I have said consistently, what even they will admit, those who are unhappy with me, is that I never once filed a challenge to make myself the governor of Georgia. I have always ever fought to make certain that every vote got counted and every person got included.
Were you angry after the election?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, she was angry. I wish you'd asked her, why didn't you file a challenge if you thought it was wrong? Would it be because I knew we couldn't prove it? Would it be because it would fail anyway? I mean, if you think you got a legitimate challenge, Stacey Abrams had the right to file such a challenge. She did not. Trump and his various supporters had their rights to issue their challenges. They're allowed to do it. Doesn't mean you just have to accept the election if you have any question about it. But now she's trying to say, well, words matter, and I never did that. I went ahead and accepted that I was beat. But she really hasn't, because she's still angry. She thinks she did not win, and she should have, as, of course, does Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton just a few days ago, in an interview with MSNBC, was talking about the election she lost and basically acknowledging again, I think the Russians, were behind what happened in that election when I was involved. Stand by. Y'all want to share some more from Victor Davis Hanson on making the U.S. more like USSR.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Victor Davis Hanson is a distinguished fellow of the Center for American Greatness, author of more than 24 books, and every one of them are thought-provoking. He was also a contributor to the Tribune Media Services. He published a paper the other day that I wanted to put in front of you. The title is Americans Becoming Sovietized, 10 Warning Signs About the Woke Left's Radical Agenda. In other words, he's nailed it, absolutely nailed it on what is happening with our woke culture that is trying to, as they say, transform America. I don't want to be transformed. I want to maintain the values, the integrity, the foundation, the principles, the Constitution that has made this nation a beacon for the rest of the world. Do you see anybody trying to get illegally into any other country on a consistent basis? And if they had a choice of any country, they would not choose USA first? So his question begins, what ended the Soviet system? He said, was it Not that Russians finally got tired of the Kremlin ties and hypocrisies. He said, well, here are 10 symptoms of Sovietism, and ask if we're headed down the same road to perdition. He said, for one, there was no escape from ideological indoctrination anywhere. I'm reading again from his piece. This is not my thinking. I agree with it, but I give credit to Victor Davis Hanson on the way he laid it out. Of course, I always give credit because I don't want to claim someone else's work. In part, if it's wrong, I want you to know who's wrong. There's a thin line between credit and blame. But in this case, I wish I had done this and I'd taken time and maybe I could have been as effective as he is, but I wanted to share it. He said there was no escape in the old Soviet Union from ideological indoctrination anywhere. Are we at that point? Look at what big tech has done, increasing the rate of censorship online. I mean, when all major social media platforms blacklisting former President Trump, is that not clear that the indoctrination is everywhere? And he goes on to say in his piece, a job in the bureaucracy or a military assignment hinged not so much on merit, expertise, or past achievement. What mattered was loud enthusiasm for the Soviet system. And here's where he begins to put the rubber to the road. And I'm quoting again from his article. Wokeness is becoming our new Soviet-like state religion. Let me repeat that. Wokeness is becoming our new Soviet-like state religion. Careerists assert that America was always and still is a systemically racist country without ever producing proof or a sustained argument. Isn't that true? It goes on to say the Soviets fused their press with the government. Did I not just remind you again what we've seen from the social media platform, the big tech, increasing the rate of censorship, beginning with the president? If they can shut down the president, do you think they cannot shut you down? I don't know how many listeners of this program I hear from all the time say, well, I'm in Facebook jail and all I did was reprint something else. I didn't even add my comments to it. I told you that on our new YouTube channel. If you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to do it. Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. We immediately got a strike from Facebook when we ran a clip of an interview with Sidney Shelton, one of the attorneys battling against some of the election results. And we were told, that's your first strike. You put her on YouTube channel again, we'll suspend you for a period of time. Third time, we'll take you off entirely. In other words, they have chilled my effort or my speak or anything I want to say on YouTube regarding what, her, the election, or just in general. Back to Victor Davis Hanson's article. They didn't have, of course, in those days, big tech companies. What they had were, as he's written and I'm reading here, Pravda, truth, was the official megaphone of state-sanctioned ties. I should say state-sanctioned lies. Journalists simply regurgitated the talking points of their Communist Party partners. Well, they did. As I've told you, our media now is no longer, quote, mainstream media. It is state-controlled media. In fact, a Harvard study in 2017 found that more than 90% of major TV network coverage of the Trump administration's first 100 days was negative. Negative. 90%. Most presidents, when they come in, they always get a little honeymoon, at least for a period of time. Joe Biden has had more than a honeymoon. They have just looked away, not made any noise. VP Harris given the assignment to do something about the border, 45 days and counting, no news conference whatsoever. And the state-controlled media isn't pushing for any answers. Victor Davis Hanson points out that the Soviet surveillance state also used various folks to report on each other. And he said, so we recently learned the Department of Defense reviewing its rosters to spot extremist sentiments. And the U.S. Postal Service. The U.S. Postal Service recently admitting it uses tracking programs to monitor social media postings of Americans. I ask you, very clear, very candidly, what the hell does the U.S. Postal Service have to do with what you want to post on one of your social media sites? The answer is not a damn thing. But the Postal Service has been tracking those programs. CNN claiming that the Biden administration's Department of Homeland Security is considering partnering with private surveillance firms to get around government prohibitions on scrutinizing your online activity. In other words, okay, the government won't do it, but private firms will be employed to do it. So it's not really the government. It's that firm, which, by the way, was paid to do it. And again, this same column written by Victor Davis Hanson adds this. He said, the Soviet education system was not to enlighten, but to indoctrinate young minds in proper government-approved thought. That's what we're getting, isn't it? He also points out the Soviet Union, run by a pampered elite, exempt from the ramifications of their own radical ideologies. He adds in his next line, now woke Silicon Valley billionaires talk socialism, but they live royally. Coke and Delta Airline CEOs make millions of dollars a year, and yet they want you to believe that we're just like you, we're just common people. And talk about current woke activists, Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Mark Zuckerberg, the Obamas, living on their huge estates or multi-million dollar wealth as if they are just like the rest of us. One of the co-founders of BLM, living in these mansions and buying more and saying, I support my family, everybody should, I believe in socialism, I've paid the price for socialism all these years, and I guess now, she's not saying it, but I guess she's saying, now I'm entitled to enjoy and reap the benefits. Well, I wouldn't take that away from her, actually, but just be honest. If you really believe in socialism, then you should open up that mansion to as many as you could bring in. You could take that money and give it to all these businesses that are suffering, even if it's just black-owned businesses. Goes on to say that the Hanson does in his article that in America, where and for what reason you riot determines whether you face any legal consequences. Politically correct sanctuary cities defy the law. Jury members terrified of being doxxed, hunted down for an incorrect verdict. The CIA and the FBI are becoming as ideological as the old KGB. In modern America, Pulitzer Prizes, Emmys, Grammys, Tonys, Oscars, they don't reflect the year's best work. They offer the most politically correct woke from the most woke. And he points out the Soviets offered no apologies for extinguishing freedom. Instead, they boasted that we're advocates for equity, champions of the underclass, enemies of the privileged, and we can terminate anyone or anything we please. And Victor Davis Hanson concludes his piece saying, our wokists are similarly defending their thought-controlled efforts, forced re-education, scripted confessionals, mandatory apologies, and cancel culture for fundamental transformation. Taking the U.S., making it more like USSR. I agree. Fully. Coming up, a song I'm sure you know, and it had its base in St. Louis, Stagger Lee. There's a reason I want to talk about that song, and also the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This song is Stagger Lee, sometimes known as Stagger Lee. There's an historical background to that song. It's about the murder of Billy Lyons, killed by Stag Lee Shelton, taking place in St. Louis, Missouri, Christmas 1895. Song first published 1911, first recorded in 23. A version by Lloyd Price reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1959. Lloyd Price, best known for that, and also another rock and roll icon, Lottie Miss Claudie, and personality. Word coming today that he passed away at the age of 88. Long-term care facility in New York State, complications from diabetes. 1998, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was the last of the survivors of a post-World War II scene in New Orleans that saw many shifts in popular music and culture, leading to the rise of the rock in the mid-50s, along with Fats Domino and others. That was, as you heard on the song, Lloyd Price. Stephen Van Zandt, E Street band member, said, a very important part of rock history, Lloyd Price. He was before Little Richard. And he said he is a righteous cat, enormous talent. His nickname, Mr. Personality. They say it was fitting for a performer that always had a warm smile. Very independent on his own at the time, running his own record label, even with four stars as Frank Sinatra ended up doing the same. He held on to his publishing rights, serving as his own agent and manager. He was born in Kenner, Louisiana, one of 11. Singing in church, playing piano since childhood. In his late teens, when a local DJ's favorite catchphrase, Lordy Miss Claudie, helped inspire that breaking first hit for him. Of course, Fats Domino later did a piano piece on that as well, and Elvis did Stagger Lee and Lordy Miss Claudie. I mean, a lot of folks have followed. But I wanted to make note of the missing now and the loss of Lloyd Price. And for those of you who did not know the connection of that song to St. Louis history, now you do. Most of you have probably seen the movie Jaws. In that movie, if you recall, there's a case where they're on the boat. Robert Shaw playing Quint, the captain of the boat, and Richard Dreyfuss, Matt Hooper, they start comparing scars and different injuries and so forth. And Quint begins telling the story of the USS Indianapolis. The USS Indianapolis had taken a secret cargo to the island of Tinian in July 1945. They had delivered what was necessary for helping end the war, components of the atomic bomb. That ship had, of course, Marines on board, had Navy sailors on board, also had Marines who were posted as guards. After they made that delivery, the Indianapolis was hit by Japanese torpedoes July 30th, 1945. 900 men into the ocean. Only 316 survived, according to the National World War II Museum. One of those surviving was one of the Marines. And he passed away over the weekend. Edgar Harrell, the last surviving Marine who is on board, 96 years of age. That leaves only five others, all sailors, that survived what happened. And it was not just the torpedo of the U.S. Indianapolis, but when it went down, it left 900 men in the water, shark-infested water, and the sharks began to feed and come in on the blood and attack. And for 5 days, they were swimming in shark-infested water, trying to stay alive and keeping the sharks away from them. 316 were rescued. But now we're down to, out of that group of 316, now only five living survivors. As we lost over the weekend, the only surviving Marine from that tragedy in 1945. I'd say honor our flag, honor our Americans, remember the price many have paid for what you enjoy. And I certainly say, in the midst of all of that, not just honor them, but honor the sacrifice they made. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.